Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, I've been thinking about something.
Yes.
All day, off and on today. I just think that we as people, as human beings, we need to hug more.
Okay.
I don't think we hug enough.
I know, but do you feel like there's also a point where we shouldn't hug?
No.
Really?
No.
Sometimes people come in for a hug and I'm like, whoa. I don't know you like that, bro.
So I've been thinking about this since it happened, and it happened literally months ago. I was at a function and I ran into a lady in her 70s that I have not seen for a long time.
Yeah.
And I was truly happy to see her. And so I gave her the biggest hug, you know, not the kind of like hug release. I mean, hugged her with all of myself.
Yeah.
Hugged. And then I said, oh, let's hug a little longer.
Okay.
And she giggled. And then she pulled away from me and she looked right up in my eyes and her eyes were glistening. And she said, you know, I haven't been hugged like that for a really long time.
That's fair. And but you knew her.
Well, I'm not saying walk up to strangers and hug them. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying like go up to the meat counter and say, come out here, butcher. I want to give you a big hug.
Well, that's creepy.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when I think of people I love and people I really care about, and I think about the last time I've hugged them, we just need to hug more.
Okay. Okay.
We just need
I'm
in my hug era.
Oh, wow. There is a lady at my church who listens to the podcast who is within the last 2 years as a widow.
Yeah, she's going to agree with me.
Yeah. And I hugged her a couple months ago and she came up to me a couple months later, maybe a month or two later, and said, I appreciate when you give me a hug at church because I don't get hugged by a man very much. And it wasn't creepy. And it wasn't weird.
Case in point.
I mean, she could be my mother.
The lady that said that to me, her little face was smiling. She said, I have not been hugged like that for a long time. And it just went right through me.
Listen,
like we need to hug people more, especially widows.
Totally.
You know, we need to really be sensitive to that.
Here's all roads do lead back to Disney. They really all roads do.
No, listen
to this. When you are training to be a character in Disney, they actually have a hugging rule. There's a hug rule at Disney that the character is not allowed to let go of the child until the child lets go of the character. So when Remy met Minnie for the first time when she was two, she would not let go of Minnie. Like, awkwardly long, and Minnie just kept hugging her back because their rule is that the kid has to let go first. As long as that child's squeezing you, you're squeezing back because you never know. They might need a hug.
I think the world needs a hug.
What the world needs now
is a hug.
Yes.
We need a t-shirt that said that says the world just needs one big hug.
I'm writing that down.
The world just needs one big hug. We need, Matt, I'm telling you, I'm not just saying it and I'm not being silly. We need to hug more. We need to hug our people more. We need to tell our people we love them more because, you know, it's important.
Listen, recently when my kids were getting ready for bed, Mallory and I were laying on our bed and we just laid there and she just nestled up under my arm and she was like, I can feel the serotonin releasing. Go. She's like, it's just making me so happy to hug. So I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Hey, tell me your good day.
Okay. Recently, my good day was I did a filming shoot with like fancy cameras and
fancy people
and like a camera crew.
Yeah.
And it was so fun. It was here locally. It was kind of an all afternoon deal. And you know, Matt, sometimes you're just put in settings where you're like, you know, I've done enough of this that I feel really good about. Like, I feel like I'm in my lane.
Yeah.
I feel like I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is just feeling right. Mm-hmm. And it was just a good day, all around good day. The kind of good day where you're like, I'm kind of sad it's ending.
Yeah.
It was a really good day.
Can you tell us more about it? What were you doing in the shoot?
Well, it was food related. You know, it was food related. And I did a recipe and it was in the farmhouse and... You know, I just got to be myself and just do little one-liner things like, you know, if you're going to choose between vacuuming and fresh flowers, always choose the fresh flowers. You know,
I just
got to say a few things that I believe in making home, and it was just fun.
Did you say, this is a throwback to last week, did you say maple or don't come?
No, I didn't say bring maple cinnamon rolls or don't come. No, I didn't say anything like that. No, I did not.
Our friend Kat texted us at like 6:30 in the morning the day the podcast dropped and said she was howling.
She said,
bring maple or don't come.
Maple or don't come.
No.
Listen, we don't waste our time on vanilla.
Yeah, it's heresy.
Iced. Because
it's like, what is it?
It's like what is it? It's like,
what are you wasting? Like nothing. It's nothing. it's like, what is that? Okay, my good day was, you know, I've gotten in this habit with my mom. Listen, parents often don't need stuff. And my mom is
correct.
Not a stuff person. You and Daryl are not stuff people. And so when it comes to gifts, listen, I practice what I preach. We've talked about gifts on here before. And my gift to my mom is often like a night out together. We go to the theater. And so,
and it's just you and her, which I love
that. Just the two of us.
That.
Yeah. So recently we went to the theater, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. The people around me were saying it, and I was just like proud to be in a Clevelander. I mean, I'm not really a Clevelander, but you know, Cleveland has the second largest theater district in the nation, only second to New York City. We get great experiences through Cleveland. And
Cleveland,
so
Playhouse, right?
Yeah, Playhouse Square. If you are listening,
yes.
We love the arts. So we went.
Give us tickets.
Yeah, we don't need money. We'll take tickets. We went and saw Funny Girl, which was so good.
Was it so good?
You would actually love this show. Now, most people, let me tell you.
I bet I would.
Let me give you a little bit. Most people know Funny Girl because Barbara Streisand, it was one of her breakout roles in like maybe the 60s, mid 60s. But do you know, people might not know what Funny Girl is actually about. Funny Girl's a biography of a real person named Fanny Bryce, who was in the like late 1800s, early 1900s, that was a vaudeville stage star that wanted to like be famous. And they told her she was too ugly. They told her nose was too big. They told her she was fat.
Rude.
They told her. So you know what she did? Is she used all of that to her advantage and became one of the first female comedians. And so when it came to vaudeville shows, she often did really fun slapstick things. So it was all about her journey in really being comfortable with who she was and kind of breaking out of the mold.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also like, she married a really famous, like mobster gangster guy.
Oh, wow.
Or gambler that went to prison. So, it was a really, really good show. So if you get a chance to see it, Funny Girl's great. Love
Listen,
it.
Listen.
You got
about
the
that.
Coughs.
Well, when I get to laughing, I get to wheezing. And then when I get to wheezing, I get to coughing.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a whole thing.
Here's what I want to say. If you are an adult child and you still have your parents living, it is important to take time to invest in them, whether it is a phone call or a text message or just plain old time.
Yeah, totally.
And listen, I think sometimes parents are guilty of, and this was a conversation between our youngest son and I. He had to have a little boundary conversation with me because I was breaking a boundary because he would come home and I would beg him to stay longer. And I would say, I wish I could see you longer. And he was like, Mom, we need to have a conversation about this because it makes me feel guilty. It makes me feel sad.
Right.
And I think sometimes the hesitation for adult kids is if they start doing a kind of investing, there's going to be a precedent set or an expectation.
Yeah.
But I don't think that should keep you from doing things for and with your parents, especially if that parent is without their partner or spouse.
Right.
I think it's important to make that investment, to spend that time to say, like, let's do something together. When our kids come home, when the boys come home, and I really make a point of it, even though in my heart, I wish they would stay longer and I want them to stay longer.
Yeah.
I make a point of it not to say it. I want to say it, but I don't say it.
Right.
Because I don't want to make them feel guilt.
Right.
And I don't want to make them feel a sense of sadness when they're leaving. Like, Mom wishes I could stay longer.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I came home for the whole day and it still wasn't enough. I don't want them to feel that way.
Right.
So I, what I do is I make sure I put my phone away. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I know that's important to them. And I just sit with them and have coffee and have conversation and just spend quality time. And it is not wasted on your parent. Yeah. Your parent, yeah. What you invest in your parent when you become an adult child is just, it's not wasted time.
Here's what I think though, too. If there's parents listening, don't be afraid to say what you want either.
Correct. Yes.
In a healthy way.
Yes, that's correct.
Because I think the lie that gets trapped in parents' heads of their adult children is the parents think, oh, they're so busy. They have so much going on. They have kids, they have jobs, they have a spouse or a partner. And I think then you tell yourself that you can't communicate what you want or what you desire. There's no space for you.
There's no space for you.
And that's
right.
Not true.
Right.
And so I think for you with your kids, if you could, I think it's totally in bounds to say, hey, when you come, can we plan a time in the future where you stay overnight? Because I love when we wake up together in the mornings.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so instead of saying when they're there in the moment and saying, oh, I want you to stay another day, that I know I totally agree with what you said. But instead of that, what if you said, hey, can we plan an overnight? Because love when you sleep under my roof.
Yes.
I love when we wake up in the morning and have coffee. And so I think it's okay to communicate what you want too. Yeah, and don't assume that they're too busy for you. Because I think sometimes that gets lost in translation where, you know, kids don't think that their parents want them around because, I don't know, or whatever. And adults don't think they want their kids around. That their kids don't want them around, and that might not be the case either. So I think we just need to get better at communicating what we want.
Right. I think communicating in a healthy way is key.
Totally.
And not communicating in a passive aggressive way. Like,
absolutely.
Nice that you came home for all of an hour.
Oh my gosh.
You know, things like that.
Listen, my mom does listen to this podcast, and she knows if that ever happens, I'm like, I head for the hills. My mom would never do that. I just don't like when people do that.
It
makes me cringe.
It's born out of just like not knowing what to do. So you do something to almost get a reaction to get even if the reaction is negative, you just want a response.
Right.
When a better idea would be exactly what you said.
And I don't know if this is true, but I wonder if you're feeling vulnerable, if it's easier to say something jokey, passive aggressive to cut the tension of you being vulnerable.
Sure.
Instead of saying what you really want.
Sure.
And I think breaking through that vulnerability is really important.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree. Yeah, I agree.
Totally.
Okay, what are we talking about today, Matt?
Okay, I actually think we should flip what we were thinking.
We had two
things, but I think we should flip because here's where we're kind of talking about is we're talking about getting older.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, you know, you're 55. Oh my gosh, I have to say something to you. Our friend Grant, who listens to the podcast, texted me today, and he said when he was listening to last week's podcast that when you said 55, he instinctively started tapping his hand. And I said, when we were at Be Fearless a couple weeks ago, part of your speaking, you said, I'm 55, and there were like four or five people in the room that went... And I was like, oh, those people listen to the podcast.
Yep,
Mel Yoder is one of them.
Yep.
But we want to talk about getting older.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's one of those things where we, you know, time passes. And I think if we don't think about with intention what we're doing and where we're headed, I think we could start acting silly.
Well, Matt, we can get quirky and a little weird. And I think also we can.
But listen, this is what we were just saying is, you know, typically old people. I'm sorry if this is offensive to people that are older.
Well, let's not say old people. Let's say as we age.
Yeah.
Or let's say the older generation.
Yeah. Well, I do think the whole like it's nice of you to come around for a while is a little bit generational.
Yeah. Yeah. And
maybe listen.
And I think part of the problem also is terms like old people.
Fair.
Right? Because I don't want to be referred to as that when I'm in my 70s. I don't want anybody to be like, well, you know how old people are. Oh, no, that's not me. No, I don't want to be that.
Well,
right?
I remember thinking 40-year-olds were old, but I'm 39. Gosh, I'm breathing down the neck of 40.
Listen, I can remember vividly when my parents were in their 50s.
Yeah.
Thinking, wow, when I get there, I'm going to be... like, I'm going to be old.
Yeah.
And I don't think that 55 is old, but 55 is getting older. And here's what I'm noticing. And here's what I'll say. It starts happening now. Like, and listen, there is joy and freedom and wonder and good things with getting older, because you're just not gonna put up with certain things.
Yeah, that's true.
You're just gonna have, like, the no is gonna be mm-hmm. no, the yes is gonna be yes. Along with that, if you're not careful, that's why they say things like, they are so set in their ways.
Right.
Or right. They're just an old grump.
Right.
And it's because they have gotten so narrow in their, I'm not going to say their, I'm going to say our, because I'm getting into that generation, that older generation right. too. And I think an important part of being relevant and staying open-minded and not getting set in your ways is to make sure that you're around younger people.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But you know, I do want to push back on that a little bit, because I remember my mom talking to me about certain people. My mom and dad grew up from their childhood into their 20s or early 30s in the same church. So they knew people for quite a while. And then we had family members that went to that church my whole childhood. So my parents had these relationships with people they literally watched grow up for, mm-hmm. you know, and
they watched get older.
Yeah. They watched mm-hmm. age. Mm-hmm. And here's what I'll say about this too.
Oh, wait, give me the pushback first.
Here, the pushback is this. The pushback is, my mom has said to me stuff like, you know, you can call them a grumpy old lady or a grumpy old man, but guess what? It didn't start when they turned 80. These people,
yes,
the people that we call set in their ways or maybe grumpy.
They were grumpy when they were 40.
They were grumpy 30 and 40 year olds. They just don't have the chutzpah to hide it any longer.
They just got grumpier.
Well, so I think part of it is how we train our mindset in our 30s, 40s, and 50s. Mm-hmm. Because I think you're not going to wake up one day in your 80s and be like, you know what? I think I'm going to just be footloose and fancy free, and I'm just gonna like invest in the next generation.
Right.
Could that happen? Oh, I hope that some people can change in that capacity. But what I really think is that some of those habits about
are just built in.
Yes. Mm-hmm. About like the way that we look at the world mm-hmm. with wonder mm-hmm. and curiosity mm-hmm. with people. Mm-hmm. I think some of that is just part of who we are.
Yeah.
And it's the habits that we develop in the 30s, our 30s, 40s, 50s.
Yeah,
I was actually just saying to you before we started this podcast, Skyline Eric, one of my favorite things about my friend Eric is he is one of the people, he gets excited about everything in life, big things, little things, things that happen to him, things that happen to other people. Mm-hmm. He just has a zest for life. And right. I appreciate people like that mm-hmm. for sure.
Well, and I love that I can see, and I don't even know him that well, I can see he's as excited for good things for you as you are. Like, it's like it's almost happening to Eric, but it's happening to you.
He is a celebrator.
And for sure. I think that is a wonderful attribute. Do I think that Eric will be 80 years old and a grump? Nope.
Nope.
Because he's not, he's not. How old is he?
Probably 39.
Yeah. I think so he's 39. He's not 39 and a grump. He's probably not going to be 79 and a grump.
I agree with that.
I do think that sometimes circumstances of life
100%
can cause a turn or can cause some just feelings of angst or desperation or sadness or grief.
Absolutely.
And can kind of change things people. But
I agree. Part of getting older too, as we age, is, you know, people lose their spouse at young ages, but it's probably most common as you age to lose a spouse. It's probably most common to have declining health as you age. Mm-hmm. And so those things really do play a factor mm-hmm. in our outlook mm-hmm. on life.
You know, and one thing I was just thinking about this today because I witnessed it. I cannot take it. Listen to me. I am not 75 or 85.
No, you're 55.
I'm 55. If when I am 75 or 85, I have somebody 25 or 35 talking to me like I am in fourth grade, there's going to be trouble. Sometimes, please check yourself. do not talk to older people, especially if they are in a nursing home, they're experiencing dementia, yeah. they are failing in health. Like, okay, yeah. what we're going to do is we're going to get you out of bed. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. This is this is an adult that has right. lived a life. That's probably been a father, a mother, a grandmother, grandfather, mm-hmm. you know, has had, you know,
probably a job,
a career.
Yeah.
You know, don't talk to them like they're either like they're babies or like they're little kids.
Yeah.
That will make me a grumpy old lady. if you, because
could you imagine if everyone talked to you like that all the time? That would be horrible.
I've seen it. I've seen yeah. it going. I want to say, don't talk to them like that.
Right.
Like they're
right.
an adult. Right. Like, and they're, and actually they're your elder. Our friend Kelly Brownlee says something that I love. She says the saints. Mm-hmm. She refers mm-hmm. to some people in her life as the saints.
Yeah.
And I love that. Like,
it's give an
them,
honor.
Give them honor, give them yeah. respect, and don't talk to older people like their children, like Absolutely. Their little children.
So Leanne, if we know, you know, we know our hope in life is that we live a long life
yeah,
and that we right. all to some degree experience aging. But what is it that you think we need to do to cultivate that youthfulness, you know, because the reality is our body's going to change, our energy levels are going to change,
right.
but there is a spark in us that we can keep alive to remain youthful. What are some of those things when you think about this that are those?
Well, definitely like, hanging out with younger people.
Yeah.
I mean, you're 39.
I'm 39.
And I would say I have several friends that are younger than I am. And I love that.
Yeah.
And I would say that friends that are my age, we're all keeping each other accountable that we don't get quirky and weird the older we get. Because honestly, you do. You yeah. start getting some habits and some things that, you know, where it feels like, oh, that's kind of a quirky,
yeah.
you know, that's kind of a,
yeah.
You know, let's maybe not, maybe we don't do that.
Right.
You know, and I think also, trying new things. I think mm-hmm. it is important to do new things. I think it's important to, listen, get on Instagram and learn technology.
Right.
I mean, it's
right.
not easy. Lord knows, you know, and I know.
I know.
I mean, technology for me is.
You've gotten better though.
I have. I'm trying.
Yeah.
I do think it's important for our brains, you
right,
know,
right.
to open up new pathways. In fact, I've brought back memorization into my life. You know, I
hadn't
done that for a long time. And let me tell you, it's a little harder, Matt, now than it was, say, in fourth grade.
Right.
But this morning I got paper out. I wrote things down because I'm trying to memorize yeah. some passages of scripture. And I think that it's good for our brains.
Totally.
To do new, fresh things to keep us, to just keep us
yeah.
sharp. My father-in-law, who's Amish.
Yeah.
is constantly doing word finds and crossword puzzles and
Sudokus.
He's doing things to yeah. keep his mind active and sharp, and
right.
he loves to talk to new people and mm-hmm. you know and people that are different, and I just think all those things are important to keep
yeah.
you to keep you aging well.
My mom went to a pottery class. She had not really done pottery before. And she has made some incredible things.
Incredible.
And, you know, she started that in her 60s.
Yes.
And I love that she did that. The other thing, when you were talking about investing in the younger generation, a place or a nonprofit that's near and dear to our heart is OHuddle. And what we love about OHuddle is the mentoring relationships that it pairs adults up with high schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, you know, we had the opportunity to MC the OHuddle.
Yeah. We talked about this last
week. Yeah. Gala. And what I love about that is around the room, there were ages of people in their 30s all the way up to people in their 70s
mm-hmm.
and people
mm-hmm.
that just say, I'm going to invest in the mm-hmm. next generation
mm-hmm.
and it keeps them young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another
mm-hmm.
thing I thought about was laughing. We had talked about this before we talked about this podcast, and I forgot to look up the statistic, but it's something ridiculous. Like the average child laughs
oh
a million times a day.
It makes me sad.
And the average adult, statistic?
No. We had talked about it. The percentage that it goes down, that it drops from the time you're a child laughing so much per day to when you become an adult is staggering, and it actually makes me sad.
Okay, here's the one. This is from NCBI. It's a mental health organization. It says research shows that children laugh about 400 times a day, but adults laugh only 15 times a day. That is really, well, I don't think I'm I definitely think I'm above average with this statistic.
Definitely. I asked this question in my Instagram stories. And one thing that I said, and it's really true, is I gravitate toward funny people, and I have funny friends. So literally,
yes, you do.
I do. I probably laugh 100 times a day because people make me laugh. So I do think it's important to get around people that have a light, bright, good sense of humor.
Oh, absolutely. And I do think laughing just keeps you, I think it keeps your perspective sometimes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not good. To take life too seriously,
right.
Or get hung up on the little things.
Yeah,
life.
I do. I will say this. As you get older and as we age, we see a lot of life, you know,
100%.
And there's a lot of heartache that happens.
Yeah.
So by the time you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, you've lost really special people.
Mm-hmm.
You have gone through people being sick in your life.
Yeah.
You've gone through watching people and their children go through incredible hardship.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a weight to some of that.
Absolutely.
Where you're not like Pollyanna, which I don't like the reference of Pollyanna, because Pollyanna, if you do some deep dive research, is kind of having an oblivious happiness.
It's like a naivete.
Like you're just like you just are laughing while somebody's bleeding next to you.
Right.
But I think the Pollyanna idea is really for a younger person who really is kind of oblivious mm-hmm. to what goes on in the scope of a whole life,
totally.
The landscape of a whole life, where you're like, have experienced some of the deep, deep loss and deep pain that can really change you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people deal with grief by just getting angry and bitter and grumpy.
Right.
And it's really, if you really dig down to why they're, you know, a quote unquote grumpy old man, mm-hmm. there's probably reasons, you know, and maybe they've always been grumpy since they were 40 or 50,
but
maybe not.
Right.
You know, maybe they have experienced some things that they just can't seem to pull themselves up out of.
Totally. Totally. Here's another thing I thought is stay curious. I think curiosity is such an important part of life. So when I say curious, that's kind of a broad word.
Mm-hmm. Explain that a little.
But to me, it means I'm always learning something. My wife teases me because, for example, went to the musical with my mom, saw Funny Girl. I bring the program. Mm-hmm. I bring it home and I start reading the bios, and then the lead girl, I'm like, man, she was really good. I wonder how old she is. Oh, I wonder what she did before this. And then all of a sudden, 2 hours later, I do this deep dive on,
you know her.
Yeah. I feel like she's my best friend. And so I think that sense of curiosity mm-hmm. of learning new things, or, you know, if you take something apart and put it back together or DIY stuff in your home.
You know that I've been all about the puzzles.
I know.
And you know that, you know, I'm a puzzle person these days.
You are a puzzle person.
And it really does help me feel like I don't know a lot about the brain, but I do know that you can create new pathways in the brain mm-hmm. by doing new things. And
totally.
I do think it's important. And puzzles are my jam right now, Matt.
Totally.
I got some at Toyrifics last time I was there.
Toyrifics.
If you are listening. They have a great selection, by the way.
They really do.
Yes. And it's just a fun activity during the winter because, I mean, Ohio.
I mean, what else are we doing? Here's another one. Is sports and hobbies. Listen, pickleball. Let's talk about pickleball. Pickleball, you know, pickleball is the fastest growing sport in the nation.
Oh, it's on TV now.
Like, is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't have TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's on TV.
I don't have like the
cable channels.
It's on TV.
It's on ESPN. It's on TV. It'll be, if well, it's listen, not already, it'll be an Olympic sport.
Listen, I don't know if I'm divulging information. However, we're building a new school. Oh, and we're putting pickleball marks on the courts.
Yeah, it's important. You should.
Because, you know.
It's the rage.
I want to
tell
you. Here's
why,
though.
People better be careful, though, especially aging people. Like, people like me.
Well, don't, like, tear a ligament.
Seriously.
I know. But I will say it's low impact enough that a lot of people can play it. Mm-hmm. It's very accessible for people. And so part of that, too, is as you get older, I think it is great to remain active. I think keeping your body moving helps keep your mind sharp as well.
Yes,
and so, Mallory's grandma, Emma Jenkins.
Emma Jenkins.
Emma, I don't know if you listen to the podcast. It's okay if you don't. But Emma's in the silver sneakers. Because she'll go and she'll walk, you know, she'll walk the malls, she'll walk the tracks.
I love it.
So I think moving your body is another important part of that too.
Listen, we go to Hilton Head, my favorite.
Are you still walking?
I fell off the wagon. I was doing so good there for a while. And then, you know, when the weather gets so stinking cold,
I
just don't want to do it. But I will say when we go to Hilton Head, I love bike riding.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll bike ride 20 miles in a day. I would love it.
Yeah,
love
to the French restaurant.
Yeah, I'll go bike riding. And I'll get myself a
to like Harris
little,
Teeter.
I'll get myself a little strawberry lava down at the Salty Dog.
Listen, I support this.
Yeah, and then I'll bike home. It's
listen,
great.
And we've talked about this before too in regards to hygge, but I think this works here too. Is hobbies?
Yes,
I think having hobbies as you get older.
Agree.
You know, I talked about pottery. We've talked about hand embroidery.
Yes.
I think having hobbies keeps your mind fresh.
I agree with you.
And also, here's the other thing.
Reading.
But I think all of these things, what I would encourage, if you're someone that's listening that's like, maybe I do fit in a bracket that I'm feeling like maybe I need to think about these things, find places to do this too. Because don't do it alone. Don't
find
sit at home.
To do what? Oh,
to
your
do
hobby?
Your hobbies
or meet
people. Because I think isolation is one of the hardest parts of getting older.
I agree.
You know,
that's another reason why we need to hug more.
This kind of goes back to our beginning too. You know, if you are an older person and your kids are grown and they are raising kids or their kids are gone too, and you feel a little lonely, find people.
Listen, I just want to tell you this. I'm not a grandmother yet,
no.
but today I made a decision.
Okay.
When I am a grandmother, I am going to train every single grandchild that they hug their grandma as soon as they see her. Yeah, they hug their yaya. I want a big, long hug every time they see me. So then when I get real old and they're like 28, they're still going to come running and they're still going to give me a big, long hug.
Love it.
Yeah, we need
if
to hug more.
If you can train them, I think that's great. Hey, well, this is a great conversation.
Yes.
And before we go, we do need to talk about
food.
People that are keeping us young.
Yes.
Was that
what?
A good transition?
No, that wasn't.
Walnut Creek Foods.
No, I think we need to always just say, before we end, let's talk about food.
Okay.
I listened to our podcast today and I thought, you know, I love that we said, before we end, let's talk about food.
What is your pillow talk catchphrase about food? Food, laugh.
No, it's eat, laugh, love. Because if we're eating and we're laughing and we're loving, we're living.
Love it.
We don't have
That's
to say
like
live, laugh, love. We have to say eat, laugh, love. Eat, laugh, love. Because
I
we're
support
eating...
that.
Yes. Okay. Listen.
I'm going to make you a cross stitch that says
I'm going to tell you two things.
Okay.
Two things that are on my mind about Walnut Creek Foods / Walnut Creek Cheese.
Wonderful.
They're licorice. Don't sleep on their licorice.
I won't.
The red licorice, the strawberry licorice, the cherry licorice, and the blue raspberry licorice. Delicious.
Sign me up.
Also, their beef jerky. Uncle Mike's beef jerky is part of the Walnut Creek Foods, Walnut Creek Cheese brand, and it is delicious.
You really like the teriyaki.
Teriyaki.
I know that's your favorite.
And the barbecue. Love them both.
So good.
We thank Walnut Creek Foods for being our official sponsor. We love you.
Listen, and we say this every time, but if you can't make it down to Walnut Creek Cheese and Market in Walnut Creek, Ohio, go on their website and put in your zip code where you can find where locations near you that sell Walnut Creek Foods products.
Yes.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us in this conversation about aging with grace and getting older and really how to play as you stay, stay young.
That's right. Stay young.
Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.